Couple months ago, I wrote a newsletter about the experience I had before Easter when I stumbled across a frequently called numbers list in my desk. One of my predecessors had a list of numbers that was kind of hidden in this pullout drawer that is very small, and I sometimes forget that it's there. And the numbers and the names were no longer frequently referenced numbers. They were infrequently referenced by me because the list had been left behind so long ago. And it was really outdated. I was surprised when I read it because of how much the church has really changed. Many people on the list had died. Some of them had left the church. Some of them hadn't been around in a really long time. And it made me feel like I could almost go down the list mentally, crossing out names. And I felt a bit disheartened about the church and where we went and what's happened over the last 4 years of our journey together. And all of this, looking at these names of these people that are no longer around, made me wonder, are we dying? Could it be me? Did I do something? Did I kill the church? And indeed, I think we could be, but we are not dead. We may be dying in some ways, but we are a resurrection people as Christians. We are a people that are in the process of being resurrected into something new. Now, the new church is going to look different than the old church. It'll still have the bones of the old and the essence of the old, but how could it be the same after being resurrected into something new? You know, I think that's an appropriate message for us on this day. Our annual meeting is Sunday worship day, a day when we talk a little bit about our future and what it holds for our congregation. You know, we may be small in numbers, but we're mighty in spirit. And maybe I could just drop the mic and walk away there. But I think that our scriptures for today that we heard earlier from Haggai and from Luke have some incredible power in them for us today. And I think they're really appropriate given the day. So I want to share a little bit with you about those scriptures. Now, the first is from Haggai. We don't read from Haggai all that often. Haggai is a prophet in the Old Testament, and Haggai comes from a time following what was known as the Babylonian exile in Jewish history. Now, long ago, when the city of Jerusalem was sacked by the Babylonians, and the Babylonians deported the upper and middle class people to Babylon, they deported the educated, the skilled laborers, the persons with resources, and they took them home with them, and they left the dregs behind. The poor folks, the uneducated, the unskilled to fend for themselves. They knew they couldn't do much with a broken city and with broken up families and a society that had crumbled. And with these families being split up and a temple being destroyed, it seemed like that was the end of the line for the Judeans. But then years later, the Babylonians were no more. King Cyrus the Great of Persia defeated the Babylonians and took down their empire. And now, under Persian rule, the Jews were allowed to return home. But it was almost a generation later. Many of the folks who were sent back to their ancestral homeland only had a memory. So Haggai the prophet wrote his message during a time of great stress and uncertainty in Jewish history. He spoke God's message when the people of Jerusalem were tasked with returning home and rebuilding their once great city and their temple. And they barely had anything to go by other than the memories of their eldest of the eldest. In the midst of this disheartening situation, Haggai preaches and delivers a message from the Lord to take heart, to have courage, to never give up, because God is with the people. Take courage, all you people, Haggai says. My spirit abides with you. He's saying this on behalf of God. Do not fear. I am with you. You know, I think this is a great word for us this morning as we have our annual meeting, because we find ourselves today in a church that is not in trouble and ruin. It's not, you know, dead or something like that. But the way I hear some of you talk about the glory days, it sounds like the memory of the people in Jerusalem. It certainly is different, our church, than it was in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, but we are a resurrection people. What once was might die away, but it's going to rise into something new. So take heart, I say, have courage. Do not fear. The Spirit of God abides among us, just like it did with the people in Jerusalem. So in our second reading, we have a powerful message that is in line with this as well. In Luke's gospel, we continue our exposition through Luke. And this week we hear a really strange text that I don't think I've ever preached on before. We hear these Sadducees, who happen to be Jewish folks, who didn't believe in a bodily resurrection. They were having a conversation with Jesus. And they believed in some sort of afterlife with a resurrection, but not in a bodily one where their physical body was resurrected. You know, the one that Jesus demonstrates when he's resurrected from death and when he resurrects his friend Lazarus. This is something they didn't believe. The idea of believing in resurrection in general was kind of around in Jesus' orbit. There were Jews that believed in this, but in terms of a bodily resurrection, whoa, that was pretty radical. And there were varying understandings of what happened after you died, too, just like we have today. You know, I think you ask anybody what the afterlife is, they're going to give you a completely different explanation from the next person sitting in the pew next to them. But the line of questioning is really interesting here, because these Sadducees posed a question to Jesus in the form of a hypothetical, and they're interested in what happens with bodies. They say, suppose there's a lady who's married, her husband dies, they got no kids, so she remarries his brother as is tradition. Well, just so happens that he dies too, and they have no kids. And we don't know exactly what happens, but the Sadducees basically say that she works her way down the family tree and marries like seven brothers, and each of them she doesn't have kids with, and you know, the brother dies, you know, the husband dies. So they ask Jesus, whose wife will she be in heaven? Jesus essentially says that God is a God of the living, and we are all alive in resurrection. The kingdom of God will look different than anything we could possibly imagine. We'll truly be children of God, and our relationships will be reconfigured in the life beyond. Now, this is a really strange discussion to have, though, right? I mean, can you imagine? Unless you've been in a similar situation, you probably haven't thought too much about this, because it's very strange to talk about. But here it was on the front of these Jewish guys' minds, because they wanted to know what happens with bodies, they wanted to know what happens with relationships, the natural order and the social order in the life beyond. And what's so fascinating to this discussion, to me as a pastor, is that one line where Jesus says, God is a God of the living, and we are all alive in resurrection. Because when he says this, it has to deal with having an embodied faith. It has to deal with having a real live body that's physically alive in the resurrection. You know, these Jewish guys were concerned about life after death in some sort of abstract sense, but Jesus is actually talking about a life with a real body attached to it. When we talk about God in our theology as some sort of out there force with no face or anything tangible about God, then our theology tends not to touch human beings in their lives. It becomes abstract. It becomes no longer applicable to many people. But as the Sadducees and Jesus have these conversations about bodies and faith and the afterlife and the here and now, it's important for us to glean from the way that they're talking and the way that they're having a conversation about the reality of embodying our faith and having a body attached to it. We as a church are the body of Christ. That's what we say. We're the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet of Christ. We've been called to, as a church, to embody our faith, to have a body attached to it, and live it out in the world. I know that we have done this throughout the year. When I share my report a bit later, you'll hear some of the amazing ways that we've done this. And although we may be a church that is dying and being resurrected, we will grow into our new body in new ministries and opportunities that we've lived out of our faith. So I want to ask you, what might it mean for you to live out your faith in an embodied way, knowing the Spirit of God abides with us, like the prophet Haggai tells us? Or that when we are a church, we need to touch actual human lives, lest we want to go down the same route as the Sadducees that, you know, don't quite understand why a body has to be attached to this faith thing. We need to touch lives unless we want faith to become an intellectual exercise in and of itself. We at Christ Church have been called to be a resurrection people. And so my prayer for us as we continue our worship today and talk about our future tomorrow is that we might ponder what it means to embody our faith as disciples. Amen.